B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Feeling good this morning. Feeling very, very good this morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson with you. You know, I stayed up last night to watch the game, make sure that the Phillies would take care of business against the Chicago Cubs. And boy, did they. Not into any blowout form or anything like that. But Trey, it was a game that you felt like they were going to win. They had the 3-1 lead. They had it late in the game. Mm-hmm. You felt like they were going to win this game. And then they lose on a just bonkers play. Gene Segura throwing it off a guy's foot. It bounces to the stands. And they get a little league home run, as they termed it. But yet they come back because Jamie's boy, Mean Gene, stepped up to the plate and made things happen. Little RBI single, should have been a double over the first baseman. Well, I don't know if it would have been a double, but first over the first baseman's head, over Anthony Rizzo, goes into left field, or right field, excuse me.
Got a little greedy with the base runner.
Got a little greedy. I thought he was safe. I didn't expect him to over.
That was close.
Yeah, go ahead and take the single, though.
Yeah, I mean, they got the run anyway.
Yeah, it wasn't going to count anyway, against them. Go ahead and take the single.
But it would have been one of those losses that would have been, in all honesty, for a May loss, it would have been one of those losses that was like devastating. Because they were leading.
Yeah.
Jake Arrieta pitched great in his return to Wrigley Field.
Mm-hmm.
He looked incredible.
Got a standing ovation.
He got some help in the field. Got a standing ovation. That was very nice. And they had that poll during the game. Did you hear this? They asked a question basically about you, Darvish, and Jake Arrieta, and whether or not you wanted to re-sign Jake Arrieta at that time, right? And it was only 50-50. Judging from that ovation, it was like 100% they wanted Jake Arrieta to stay.
But it's always good when you go back, man. You get a little love.
Oh, certainly.
Get a little love.
But the get Phillies a little tickle on your hiney.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
That again.
Yeah.
First, now I hate Jimmy Rollins again, and now we're tickling hineys.
I mean,
it's called Mark Day.
Talk to Celeste about that, man. You know.
Yes. No. I've talked to.
The crack.
We've been together. We have been together for 9 years. We've had that conversation in the early goings.
Okay.
That's like first date material, my friend.
Really?
Hey,
so
listen,
you just come out first date.
Don't touch my butt.
Hey, listen, no tickles in the crack.
Just don't touch the butt. Stay away. I don't want any good hustles. So it was a feel-good day yesterday.
Okay.
But, you know, they close out the victory. Good.
Yes, they did.
JT Realmuto gets the home run to seal the deal for you in the 10th inning. And then you're able to get Adam Morgan coming in, Juan Nicasio coming in the ninth, or excuse me, bottom of the 10th inning to get you the victory. It was all nice. And even earlier in the day, you had probably an even better vibe. Now, if you asked everybody to a man across Philadelphia whether or not they would expect Carson Wentz to be healthy by week one or even by training camp, as in no limitations, no carryover from the back injury and or the knee injury, I would think that the vast majority of people, probably 95% at least, would say, oh yeah, Carson's going to be back. He's going to be fine. Yeah. He'll be ready to go. So why wouldn't Doug Peterson, when he was asked about it at the owners' meetings, say that he was healthy? Why wouldn't Howie Roseman, as recent as the draft, say that he was healthy and ready to go?
Because.
So the report comes out yesterday that Carson Wentz is progressing well from the back injury. This is from Ian Rappaport from 2018. And his sources say he has no limitations on the field drills during OTAs beginning tomorrow. The team will be smart with him, of course. And obviously, they'll manage him. And you'll probably not hear anything like Doug Peterson say. You probably won't hear Doug Peterson say, oh, well, we're just taking our time and seeing how everything turns out and all that stuff. I understand it's not training camp yet. But this is a guy that they never put on IR last year.
He didn't have surgery.
I understand that.
He didn't have surgery.
Correct.
So what's the big?
So why wouldn't they just say that he's fine?
Why wouldn't we just assume that he's fine?
No.
He didn't have surgery.
You can never assume.
I know, but he didn't have surgery.
Like, Doug was getting mad at reporters, kind of, you know, because they were asking. He's like, come on, why are we going there? This is
exactly
about the rookies.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's the big story, though, Trey? I mean, I'm defending here. Like I'm a media person. I'm going to go in and say,
you have to ask the question.
So, Miles Sanders, what are we thinking? Third down for him?
Have surgery.
Right. So, but, okay, totally agree with you. So, why has the organization, to Mark's point again, not come out and say, look, he's fine. He's good to go. We're okay.
Because they don't have to. They're always going to keep that little, you know, veil closed. But he didn't have surgery.
Right. But I have to ask that question.
I get it.
Right?
Yeah. But I mean, he didn't have surgery. I'm expecting for him to come back to OTAs and do all of the drills and everything. He didn't have surgery.
Doug Peterson should say what you're saying then.
Yeah.
He should have said, what? He didn't have surgery.
Yeah, exactly. he didn't have surgery. All right, let's move on. But then it opens up to everything else. You know,
it's frustrating. I understand.
I would still take Doug Peterson saying, we were going to play him last year if it came to it. So of course he's going to be ready to go. That would make me feel a heck of a lot better.
He's okay.
At the owners' meetings, when he had the little breakfast, he's sitting down there at the round table with all the reporters, right? That happens every year. He goes into the whole thing about Carson and says, oh, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how he progresses.
What?
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Do you think that sometimes the coaches just kind of like, you know what, I'm going to just mess with them back?
Yes, but I don't think about this.
Okay.
I don't think the head coach would mess with the media about the starting quarterback. I think that there is the gamesmanship part of it, and that's what he got into last year. And I think it was Ian Rappaport that put out the story about Carson being ready to go for week three, it would have been last year. And he was all upset about it because he didn't want the other team to know his plan. I mean, we should have known going into it that Carson Wentz 100% was going to be fine.
Yeah.
And now that this report came out from me in Rappaport, I feel a little bit better about it. Now I just want to see him out there. I'll be down there today. I'll be watching. Hopefully everything is fine and there's no worries whatsoever. But the fact is, they already showed their cards last year. And they're acting like they didn't show you their cards. That's what was frustrating about it.
Okay.
All right, Trey's on the need to know basis. I'll let you know when you need to know.
Didn't have surgery.
Mark and I are the media people. Right. Like, why can't they just be forthcoming?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So as recent as last week at rookie camp, he wouldn't answer questions about Carson Wentz.
Yeah, because it was rookies. It was a rookie. Yeah,
right, it was rookie making.
But it depends about the rookies.
But to Bob's point, what am I going to do? Ask you about Miles Sanders?
Yeah, you should have.
He's a real heck.
People did.
It was about rookies.
It was a 15-minute press conference.
Carson wasn't even there.
It was a 15-minute press conference.
Carson wasn't there.
Yeah.
First game of the season, Miles Sanders, third down, he gets the ball handed off to him. Who's handing the ball off to him?
That's how you tie it.
Is he going to be okay to hand off the ball? Yeah, I mean, it was a rookie minicamp.
Again, so Trey, so my point is that if you would have asked every Eagles fan in the world whether or not Carson Wentz was going to be ready by training camp, even, they would have said, oh yeah. I would have said maybe even 99% would have said, heck yeah, he'll be fine, ready to go, no limitations. But the fact that the team wouldn't acknowledge it, and look, to this point, they still haven't acknowledged it, it's just a report that's out there. I still think we're going to hear the same type of thing from Doug Peterson all the way through the summer and into training camp.
Is this his first offseason with no surgery? Well, he didn't have surgery the first time with his wrist.
Wrist? That was college, right?
College was wrist, yeah.
College was wrist. He had the ribs. What was it?
Ribs was rookie year.
The only surgery he's had since the Eagles has been the knee, right?
Well, the only healthy like mini camps or OTAs he's really had is the preseason before his stellar 17 year, right?
Yeah. Right.
So in theory, if he has time to prepare, he's at an MVP level.
Right there. There you go.
All right. Well, that's fine.
No surgery.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
You get him some Pilates. You know, you just had a little, you know.
Yoga and Pilates.
Yeah, get some yoga, Pilates, get some hula hoop in, and just get on through, man.
Hula hoop?
Yeah, hula hoop.
I like that.
I don't feel good about the hula hoop.
It gets the core. It helps with the core.
He's injury prone.
It's a core thing, though. It's a core thing, man. You got the, you know, it takes a little core to get
the, I like it. A little hula hoop.
You guys are both, what are you doing? You're both hula hooping in your chairs. It's very off-putting.
I will say it's better than a cup of coffee. You got to get the core strong, darling.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, now, speaking of a cup of coffee, I just want to make a general announcement to help all the fine people that will be calling this radio program throughout the day, or possibly just talking to Jamie Lynch at any point if he's on the air and he's talking about whatever. You just heard him there. If he sounded a little agitated, Jamie, I like the way you described it at a 5 o'clock hour. Last night was the first night the baby wasn't cool.
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much all the other time, she's really cool. Cool as a cucumber.
Yeah.
Last night, not so much.
Yeah, it was one of those nights where I was like, yeah, if I'm not being held or fed, I'm going to cry and make your life hell. And I was like, oh, I see what you're doing, baby. I don't respect it, but I see what you're doing.
He called her damn baby in the 5 o'clock hour. Damn baby. I slapped him on the wrist for that one.
I feel like you could say that about like the neighbor's kid that won't stop crying.
Yeah, you can't say it about
that damn baby over there won't stop crying.
What my neighbors were saying last night. I heard it and I just regurgitated it.
I think I want to save the audio and play it for Skylar right before her senior prom. I think I didn't want to do that.
She was listening the day my mom joined us to give her Sixers Raptors prediction, and I said nobody cares about Skylar. Addie texted me. She's like, "Real nice, Skylar heard you." I was like, "Yeah,
oh, that's wonderful.
That's awesome."
All right, so we got plenty to get into with the Phillies. We're going to run through yesterday's game, including a couple of just incredible highlights from yesterday, including Bryce Harper and including JT Realmuto. We'll get into that one. One is a low light for the Phillies, but it's just to set up the payoff. It's just the payoff. Have the bigger payoff sure. with JT Realmuto. And I got a stat from yesterday's broadcast on the Chicago air on NBC Sports Chicago that is mind-blowing when it comes to Jake Arrieta, and it's courtesy of Ryan Spader, ace of Spader. Love that guy.
Yeah, I follow him.
He's got some great stats. I like when he gets bored and he just tweets out. Amy Fiddle and I talk about this a lot. He gets tweeted, or he gets bored and he'll just start tweeting out Tony Gwynn stats. It's like, you know Tony Gwynn, never struck out ever in his life. You know, whatever it was. But I got a stat for you about that. We'll recap the Phillies game from yesterday. Also, what the hell happened to Wrigley Field?
Yeah, it looks different.
Where did they play yesterday? Was that Chicago? I don't know if that was...
It was
that
the South Side. Was that Clark? Comiskey Park.
Yeah. That was an imposter they built on the South Side to mess with people. Like I said, Carson Wentz is fine, so that's good to get into. Around the NFC East, some news with the Washington football team, as well as Ezekiel Elliott. His face is in the news again. Warriors are an incredible basketball team, in case you missed it. And to all the kids out there that might have a presentation, when I say kids, I mean college age here. If you have a presentation to do when it comes to your schooling, you might want to take this kid's advice when it comes to presenting at Cornell University. We'll get to that in a minute here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody, for our Zeta and Trey in the morning, 610-632-0975. Trying to pull up this tweet from Adam Schefter here, as he has reported. Malcolm Jenkins, who is not present for the team offseason workout program for the first time in his career, also a no-show today for the start of Philadelphia's organized team activities. Per a source, Jenkins is one of the NFL's most respected players. Absence is notable, goes without saying.
He has become the 10th highest paid starting safety in the league now, which is low. Uh-huh. You know, your team leader, you know, is that what it's all about? Trey, I'm anxious to hear what you have to say on this because I know you're put your head down and just play. I was really upset with Fletcher Cox 2 years ago, the year of the Super Bowl win, before that season. He signed a $100 million deal and doesn't show up. And I did. I said, no, you have to be there just to show. He didn't show up, and they wound up winning the Super Bowl, which shows how much I know. But what's your feeling on it, Trey, both is how would you handle it if you were Malcolm Jenkins, and how do you as a teammate look at it? At Malcolm Jenkins.
As a teammate, you never really, you know, you're like, whatever. You know, if he's not there, then it gives somebody else another chance to get in there. You know that Malcolm is going to do everything that he's supposed to be doing. He's not one of those guys that's not going to be there and not work out. So, you know, he's doing everything that he needs to be doing off the field, you know, to get himself together. So I think players aren't really worried about it. As someone that's going through it, I never was in a situation where I had to try to hold out for a contract situation, but I get it. That's the business of football.
Right.
You know, you want to get paid. You want to, you know, you're putting your body at risk every time you get out there on that field. And this is someone that, Jamie, I think you were saying he's made over 90% of the plays.
He played in like 98.5% of the plays in his time as an Eagle. It's actually unbelievable what he's done.
So, I mean, you know. That's just, this is just the business of the game. And, you know, of course you want to get paid for what you're doing. I mean, you understand that you're a team leader, so you want to be, you know, rewarded for that financially, you know, what you mean to this team.
And this offseason, I think, was a big reason why, because you saw some funny money get thrown around to safeties. You know how, like, the NFL is kind of, like, cyclical, like, different positions. You know, your tackles and quarterbacks are always going to get paid. And then other things kind of, like, shift and are ever flowing. Now it seems like safeties are getting paid highly again. When Malcolm signed, they weren't. He's making, I think it's about $8.75 million. You saw Tyrone Mathieu, the Honey Badger,
right,
and Landon Collins this year get funny money. They each got about $14 million plus some nice signing bonuses. So Malcolm's looking at that going, all right, now I'm severely underpaid. I've been the backbone of this defense and team. I'm a leader, you know, yada, yada, yada. I understand why he's doing it.
Malcolm's like, I'm also playing linebacker, you bastards.
Yeah, I've done everything for you. Just guarantee me some more money. This is probably my last big, you know, chance at making some cash. So pay me.
Certainly. And he's still, what, 29 years old? He's still, he hasn't been 30 yet.
Trey and I were trying to do it in the elevator down last. We think he's entering his ninth season because he did five with the Saints, I believe, and this would be his fourth with the Eagles. So, you know, he's approaching that time where, you know, every last dollar he can milk out of the NFL is to be considered.
Yeah, and the other part of it is that, again, you go back to that leadership aspect. It's not just that he plays well on the field at a Pro Bowl level, but he is also the guy that is the captain, like you said, the captain of your defense.
Yeah, and if I'm a teammate, I'm going, oh, go get your money, Malcolm.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be fazed by it at all.
And just because this is
31.
Is he 31?
He's 31, yeah.
Think about how long ago he was at Ohio State. Wow. Like, it's a while.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I didn't
He'll
think he was
32 in December.
And his play doesn't match up with his age because he doesn't miss plays. He's on everything. He plays linebacker, safety, cornerback. He does it all. So he doesn't look like a 31-year-old.
Just before we really jump into this season, just so everybody has it, here it is. The definition of voluntary is done, given, or acting on one's own free will. So that, there you go. It's voluntary. Yeah. Also, I didn't know this. As a noun, an organ solo played before, during, or after a church service. Anybody else know that?
Mm,
I didn't know.
No.
I did not know that. No. I did not know that. 610-632-0975. Here's what's not voluntary. The Phillies. They're not voluntary. They have to play well. Especially in this series against the Cubs, where it's a huge measuring stick. I was surprised. This is as close to a emotional hot take you could possibly get from Jason Stark when we had him on yesterday. But he said it. This is a barometer. This is a measuring stick for the rest of the season. This is something where you can really see how good your ball club is going up against an upper echelon team like the Chicago Cubs. Four-game series at Wrigley Field. And the Phillies took care of business last night. Little shaky, and we'll jump into to how exactly it got shaky yesterday. So we'll talk about that in a second. But there is one thing that stuck out to me yesterday about the game.
Besides how much you hate Jimmy Rollins?
Jimmy wasn't in the booth last night.
Nah.
And I love Jimmy Rollins.
That's why you're so happy today.
No, it was. I mean, have we all been to Wrigley?
No.
Yes,
no.
I have, but for a non-Phillies game.
Bob and Trey have not been to Wrigley?
No.
I was there both times. It was not for a Phillies game.
I liked it better than Fenway and Yankee Stadium.
What'd you go for?
Original Yankee Stadium?
Yes, original Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, the original Yankee Stadium didn't do anything for me.
Nah, it was kind
of...
You
know, I went there twice, and I was like,
I think Wrigley's the cream of the crop of Major League Baseball stadiums.
Yes, I'm still a Fenway guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
I love Fenway. Fenway's awesome.
Right, I'm not saying it's like... Wrigleyville
and like the whole area, it's just so cool.
Oh, Yawkey Way.
Yeah. But then you got Bostonites around you. And that's a problem.
I do prefer the Chicago people more.
They're
so
much
than
nicer.
Exactly. I feel like they're much more real. It's like the passive aggressive Midwest nice type of thing. It's like they're genuinely nice people in Chicago.
Yeah.
Like Minnesota, passive aggressive. They're condescending. They ain't fooling me. But Chicago, great people. Love Chicago, right? But I'm watching the game yesterday, and I went for just a vacation, Bob, just with some buddies.
Right.
We hadn't been to Wrigley, and we wanted to go to Wrigley, so we went. Fenway Park, and Jamie can attest to this as well, that was our playground for like 3 days.
That was awesome.
We were working a Winter Classic for NBC years ago, Flyers-Bruins.
Right.
I mean, it was great. It was incredible. But Wrigley Field is one of the hollow grounds in baseball, and I just went out there twice for a vacation, just taking a game at Wrigley, right, with some friends and family, whatever. So I'm watching the game yesterday, one of the most historic buildings in all of sports, and it's unrecognizable.
Yeah, they changed around
on the outside of it. wasn't recognizable. The inside, like the scoreboards, fine. You have scoreboards, electronic fan division. It's about time they made the upgrade. I have no problem with that. But I also saw something that I never thought I would ever see in a million years at Wrigley Field. And it wasn't even about the Fanavision, the ones, the new scoreboards.
Mm-hmm.
On Fanavision, they had an apology. This is something I never thought I'd ever see. Did you see this yesterday during the game? It said, "We apologize for the inconvenience. Our center field scoreboard is having technical difficulties."
Yeah, you saw Kyle Schwarber on third base at one point. He couldn't tell what the count was. I guess on the other peripheral scoreboards, yeah, it didn't have it. And he was looking around the Chicago dugout like, "Can somebody give me the count here?" He's like, "Is it 3-1, 3-2? And like, it was because center field was out.
But technical difficulties for what was for a billion years a man, like self-manned scoreboard.
Yeah.
Not
technology,
only,
baby.
Not only do I have to deal with the Phillies blowing a 3-1 lead and then later winning, which was great, but the outside, the exterior of Wrigley Field, the hollow grounds of Wrigley Field, different. And not only have to deal with that, but the Fanavision, and it looks like rooftop seats are also blocked out now because of that. But also, the center field scoreboard, one of the most beautiful things in all of sports, technical difficulties. Now that's electronically run. How long has that been going on?
Yeah.
I mean, they still have the guy that actually like is posting.
It used to be David Montgomery for the Phillies, and yes, to bring it back. Yep. He used to be a scoreboard operator.
That's right. That's right. But you look at it and you go, what is happening to society? We're now in Wrigley Field. We have to talk about the technical difficulties of a manually operated scoreboard. And by the way, it's no longer manual operated. They have the electronic numbers going on up there. It's like
Fenway still is.
You know what's fun? I don't mind the Fanavision. I don't mind the upgrades that they made like that. But like the exterior of the stadium just seemed completely different. And that bothered me. Like Fenway, I love what they've done to Fenway. They had to add the seats and the Green Monster seats.
Yeah, over the Green Monster, yeah.
That's cool. The Budweiser seats are cool right on the right field up top, right? That's cool. Lambeau Field, they did to Lambeau is spectacular. It's still, there's a lot of difference to the outside, but it still has that same vibe, that same feel. When you step on the field, it still feels like Lambeau. Not like it's been corporate, all corporate America has taken over.
Mm-hmm.
It's great upgrades. Wrigley, it doesn't look the same anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of what they did to their stadium, like Soldier Field.
Yeah, they modernized Soldier Field, too. Yeah,
very much, Yeah. Soldier Field, yeah.
It is a shame. Like Notre Dame, okay, Notre Dame Stadium, which we went to, you know, when I was younger, my friends and I, every year we would go out to a Notre Dame game just for the giggles of it and all. And then all of a sudden you see they switch to turf. And it's like a little thing.
Yeah.
You know, and then you see like a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And it's like, oh, man, really? Like, I still remember the first, but, you know, night games at Wrigley. What? Like, you know, I know I'm a little older than some people out there, but I remember the first night game at Wrigley. It was against the Phillies. It got rained out. But I was like, what? No, you don't do night games at Wrigley. No, you don't put lights up at Notre Dame or at Penn State or whatever. You know, like these places are iconic because of those things. And yeah, change is hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, enough has changed, and I'm not like 80 years old or anything, but enough has changed in my life where I go, yeah, things are going to change. But there's some things about just even like I think at Lambeau and at Fenway they've done enough respect to the past.
Yeah.
And like just looking at the exterior shots they had last night of Wrigley Field, it's like it's not even my city, but I still like baseball is just a sport that I love. And if you love baseball, you got to love Wrigley, you got to love Fenway, right? And you're just looking at it and you're going, that's not the same.
It's like here's what I thought of last night. You're in high school and you ask that girl to the prom because it's prom time. And you see her every day in school and she looks a certain way. That's why you like her, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden the prom comes and you go to pick her up and like, who's that? Like the hair's all up different and there's all this makeup and whatever. And it's like, no.
But does she have the fishnet thong?
I was going to ask. You're like, hey, let's go. Yeah.
Is prom,
you just can't forget talking. That.
Is prom at an EDM concert? I just want to know if prom is at an EDM concert. You listen to 975 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour was brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest. Mobile platform, easy, convenient, and secure. Live life, stay connected with Univest Bank. Coming up, we're going to talk some Phillies. We're also going to get into the Warriors last night.
They're good at basketball.
Nothing short of incredible. Like, nothing short of incredible. What they've been able to do in the playoffs, especially without Kevin Durant, just amazing. And at 8:30, little personal announcement we're going to make on the show today.
Oh, really?
Little personal announcement we're going to make on the show today that everyone needs to, I think, should be clued in on.
I enjoyed my time here. Thank you all very much.
I'll miss you, Bob.
We're going to get more texts from Bob's daughter.
Good friend, Bobby.
Now, what's wrong with this article of clothing? Hey, Bobby. You know Bobby. So we'll get into that. But also, by the way, 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit paworkinjury.com. It's nothing close to a must-win for the Phils, right? I mean, come on. It's May.
No.
We're talking here, right? But they were going up against the Cubs in a very tough game. Right, yeah, Jake Arrieta making his Cubs debut, going back the first time, returning to Fenway. Or forgot, it's in my head now. Wrigley Field. He was facing the guy that they gave up on him for. They gave up on Jake Arrieta. The Cubs did to go get Yu Darvish. And Jake Arrieta goes back there, pitches his way out of a couple of jams, gets some help from his defense, and nonetheless, the story of the game: 6 innings, 1 run, 8 hits. 2 walks, 4 strikeouts, ERA down to 3.77 for Jake Arrieta. He was in line for the win when he left the game before the 7th inning. Unfortunately, wasn't able to get it. But a crazy game. 2nd inning, Jake Arrieta works out of a bases loaded jam. Bases loaded, one out. Gets out of that. Then in the 5th inning, finds himself, now they're down 1-0. In the 5th inning, he finds himself in another bases loaded, one out jam. And Bryce Harper comes up with an incredible play just last night that helped bail Jake Arrieta and the Phillies out of that bases loaded one out jam with the score already 1-0 Cubs. Take a listen to Harper's laser from right field.
And Almora hits one out toward right field. Harper makes the catch. Rizzo's tagging, coming home. The throw to the plate is in time. On the fly from Bryce Harper. And Anthony Rizzo is nailed at home plate.
I know Rizzo's not the fastest guy in the world. I know Madden had him leading off a couple of times last year. I didn't know he was going to get him. I didn't think Harper was going to get him. I thought it was way too deep. Harper made a spectacular throw, and Real Muto made a spectacular tag.
Yeah, he came up because I guess the angle was weird where he wanted to catch it. It was right in line with where the runner was coming from. So do you go behind or do you stay up? You go behind, you run the risk of the ball hitting the guy. So he goes up, catches it, and then has to like pirouette and kind of dive a little bit. He made a nice play on it, but a great throw by Harper.
Yeah, he definitely got
I think
him.
He led him right there to where he needed to be, where he could make that tag.
Yeah.
It was a great throw. I didn't think Harper was going to be able to get him, but he got him.
How about Bryce Harper, defensive specialist?
Here's what I'm thinking. Because he's made a couple of great plays in the outfield.
The last like 2-3 weeks, he's been phenomenal.
Remember, I forget the GM that we spoke to. It was someone from MLB Network. But they had talked about Bryce Harper versus Manny Machado.
Uh-huh.
Remember that 118? That was a great time.
Yeah.
But they had talked about how one of these guys can go 0-for-4 from the plate and still help you win. And it was an allusion to
Manny Machado
at third base playing the hot corner, helping you win, right? Bryce Harper has done a fine job in the outfield. Look, has he had blunders? Yes. But he's still been, when he's struggled, he has still been able to help you win by playing the way he did in the outfield. The Brewers series, obviously, that was a bust, but he still made good plays for you there. It could have been a lot worse. Then last night, he steps up for you, makes a hell of a play. Had another good catch the last game here the other day against the Rockies. Like, he's been getting it done in the outfield. Thought this guy wasn't supposed to be able to play in the outfield. Thought the guy was supposed to be terrible.
For all that money, he better be able to do a whole lot. Throw him a catcher if you have to.
Yeah, well, he'd love that.
Yeah.
He'd love that. He loves that position.
That's right.
So he'd love to go back there. But he makes a great throw last night. Helps keep the score 1-0 in favor of the Cubs. 6th inning, JT Realmuto steps up, ties the game with an RBI single. Cesar Hernandez continued his tear. After this at bat, I believe that's when he was hitting 400 in the month of May. He went 0-for-2 in his final 2 at-bats. But still, nonetheless, got you the 2-run double. You go up 3-1. Jake Arrieta comes back. And, Jamie, I heard you talking about this in the 5. Shut down inning. Comes out 1-2-3. 3 up, 3 down.
It was a 19-minute half inning for the Phils. And then he comes back out and has a 9-pitch, his quickest inning of the night. I was like, because that was the one where I was like, oh, this is where he loses it.
Yeah. I wasn't feeling good either.
Yeah.
But he shuts him down, leaves the game, is in line for the win. Sir Anthony Dominguez comes into the 7th inning. 1-2-3. They're done. Then the 8th inning. And did anyone else think it was odd that you saw Sir Anthony Dominguez come out again?
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what's going on here?
Yeah.
He has some control problems.
He did only throw 11 pitches was what I was thinking at the time. Like, okay, maybe. And their bullpen, don't forget Saturday, although Nola pitched well, he only threw 6. And then Sunday they had, who was it Sunday? Was it whatever, but he only pitched 6 also.
Mm-hmm.
So their bullpen was a little bit taxied a little bit.
All right.
So that's my only thinking.
All right. So once I see him start to struggle, he's got a quick hook.
Would think.
So then this is where the confusion set in. Because the Wrigley, one of the things they did, they added seats. So they took away the bullpen on the side, on the foul lines.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it inside, which is something I actually think all stadiums should do, but whatever.
It's ridiculous that they're still out there.
Yes. So they flash to the bullpen, and there's Pat Neshek warming up. And I'm going, well, what the hell? He's already warming up. Get him in the game. What's going on here? And you see Gabe Kapler look back, and I don't want to make too much out of it, but he looked a little panicked. He looked a little like, what the hell's going on, guys? So then it comes out after the game that they can't go to Pat Neshek because he's got a little bit of a lat issue. So he wasn't available. So I guess he tried to go and couldn't go. So Dominguez ends up staying in there, ends up giving up what would be a basic inside the park, or excuse me, a Little League three-run home run that was just a debacle. The Cubs go up 4-3 in the inning. So now you're worried. Now you're like, they're not going to be able to come back. Gene Segura, who committed a throwing error that allowed the more or less inside the park Little League home run, he responds at the plate with an RBI single. That ties the game at 4-4. He got thrown out at second base trying to stretch it, trying to get an extra bag.
Mm-hmm.
Debatable whether or not he was safe. I think most people here think he was safe.
Of course, he's wearing a Phillies uniform, Mark.
Right. The dirt, you couldn't tell for sure.
It was tough to tell.
If you had to overturn it, I don't know if you're overturning it, yeah. If you're the person making the call. Inconclusive, I guess, would be the right way to say it. So Gene Segura ties it up nonetheless, 4-4. Then JT Realmuto steps to the plate in the 10th inning and grabs the lead with a solo home run, a second in as many games. How about that? That's a dramatic win.
Absolutely.
Then a two-part save, if you will. Adam Morgan strikes out Jason Hayward, and then Juan Nicasio is able to get the save in the game. It was a great win. It gave you a little worry that they fought, but they came back and they took care of business.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, it just had that feeling to me that when Chicago took that lead, the way the crowd was into it, that late into the game, the way it happened, to me, that was going to lead to, oh, man, they're going to lose 3 out of 4 this series. This is going to really put them in the dumps, whatever it may be. Now you have that, all right, this could be a good road trip. You know, they could be all right. You got Nola on the back end of this on Thursday in this series. You try to win one of these two in between. You get that last one, you could get 2 out of 4 or 3 out of 4. Mm-hmm. That's all you're looking for.
Let you start the series on a good,
that's right,
positive
and
note.
A tough 7-game road trip.
Exactly. Because what, the Brewers after this?
Yep, exactly.
And then a tough West Coast trip after that.
You know, between Game of Thrones, between the Sixers already being out of
it. Say goodbye to your sleep.
And if the Phillies would have lost last night, this would have been like a terrible start to the league.
Yeah.
It would have like affected me. Like, I would have had OTAs to look forward to because I'm going later today, going to an Overcare complex and watch and try to get something out of it, right? But it would just would have been a terrible, terrible start to the week. 610-632-0975. We got Steve in Jenkintown. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a little bit, we'll let you hear Gabe Kapler on our man, JT Realmuto, who played hero last night. And like I said, 8:30, a little bit of a personal announcement. But can we get a Twitter poll update brought to you by Window Nation, please? Sam Wilson, our Window Nation Twitter poll, of course. Don't forget, at Window Nation, you can save 50% off on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment, no payments, no interest, for 12 months, 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Sam, what do you have?
This morning we asked, what are your early expectations for Carson Wentz? An MVP caliber season, just a solid season, or still recovering? We have just under 2,200 votes so far. 52% say they expect an MVP caliber season.
Staying at 52, still 41, and it's solid?
Yes, correct.
Wow. How about that?
All right, that's 93% think it's going to be solid or better.
People feeling good. Hopefully he's looking sharp today at OTAs.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.